You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
An exercise enthusiast has said, "How can your soul get along well if your body is shot?" It could very well be added, "How can your body get along well if your soul is shot?"
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by Dr. Oswald Hoffman, Lutheran Hour speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, give us from your powerful hand good health of body, soul, and mind. By your great love for us, help us to understand how important it is to know your forgiveness in Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Light the fires of faith within us, that we may learn to receive life as a gift, to be used to your glory. In the name of Jesus, we offer to you this prayer from the heart. Amen. Somebody raises a glass and says, "Here's to your health." Very often what's in that glass poured down after a toast contributes little or nothing to good health. On the other hand, constant nagging with "do this" and "don't do that" contributes just as little to good health, especially when the do's and the don'ts originate in the fertile mind of someone determined to get a lot of money by dominating the lives of other people. I'm not here to give you a lot of rules for good health, but one great prescription comes from someone who had learned it for himself and now passed it on without money and without price to anyone. He said, "You are not your own. You are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." First of all, St. Paul recognized the gift of life. It's a gift from the Creator of life and the Redeemer of life. Life is a gift from God, whom so few people recognize as playing any practical part in their lives. It's all right to recognize God academically and theoretically, but life has to be lived as if God did not exist. That's the way an awful lot of people think. They don't just think that way, they act that way. How can anybody rule God out of his life when Jesus Christ, God's Son, gave his life for the life of the world? How can anyone go along pretending to be self-made and self-sufficient when the Son of God paid the price of blood and death to atone for the sins of the world? How can anyone act on the principle that God does not care when the carelessness and thoughtlessness of humanity are well on the way to corrupting and destroying the world in which we live? Paul had to remind people, including religious people, "You are not your own. You were bought with a price." That's the first step to good health. Not just eat your vegetables, go to bed on time, wash your hands, get your room organized, play fair, and don't forget your prayers. The first step to good health is to recognize the authority of God and the self-sacrifice of God's Son to put the world right again, right with God and right with itself. People are simply not free to do their own thing, as long as it doesn't hurt anyone else. In the process, they can bring mortal hurt on themselves, even their own bodies. That's not service to God or to oneself. As Jesus summarized the will of God, his Father, the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Another is to love your neighbor as yourself. People may hate themselves, sometimes with good reason, but that's not a service to God. It's simply a recognition of how far away people can get from God. That problem will not be solved by doing this or refusing to do that. The gift of new life with new attitudes and ways of doing things comes from God Himself, who created that life and redeems that life through the blessed action of atonement by God's Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Redemption means paying the price, to free something from illicit control, to free someone from captivity, whether imposed within or without. The price of deliverance cannot be paid by the person in captivity. It's something laid on the line by someone else. In this case, the life of Jesus Christ, the light and the life of the world. That's the story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He did what no one can do for himself. He paid the price of redemption from the captivities of sin, death, and the devil. These three are very real, and the price has to be real. The blood of Jesus Christ poured out on the soil of earth saves people here on earth for God's heaven. The Bible always calls that new life eternal life. It's life, here and now. This is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It is also life to be realized in all its fullness one day by the gift of God, with faith which will be turned into sight and hope which will be rewarded with reality. The true expression of new life in Christ is plainly and simply love. Love is not cooped up and hemmed in. Its very nature is outgoing and outpouring. It gets people out of themselves into the sunshine of God's favor, touching the lives of other people and helping to heal the lives of all who come to know God as their Father and Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. All of a sudden, it's becoming clearer to a lot of our friends in the medical profession that they don't heal. God heals. The best doctors and nurses in the world are those who recognize this fact. The loving touch is a healing touch. It does for people, just as a vacation does for people. A gift from God to correct the imbalances that occur in human bodies through the healing forces God Himself has installed in those bodies. For a long time in the development of the scientific age, the very thought that God heals was considered the raving of an idle dreamer. Now scientific research, even though it is in the most rudimentary stage, is beginning to disclose that healing, like life itself, is a lot more complex and a lot more human than most people in this century imagined it to be. Christ Himself said to the devil, "Man does not live by bread alone." On the other hand, religionists, captivated by the idea that man is a spiritual being, try to turn life into purely a spiritual exercise. Plato, a philosophical and religious idealist, tried to turn the human body into something that is to be despised, neglected, disregarded, and put on the shelf in the search for real life. You can't put Jesus Christ into that category. For us men and for our salvation, He came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. In His human body, He died for the sins of the world, and in a human body, He was raised from the dead by the glory of His Father. The full glory of that redemption is still on the way, of course. The sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in the sons and daughters of God. In the meantime, the Spirit of Christ comes to people who have come to know Christ and to believe in Christ. Trust Christ, love Christ, and have hope in Christ. As St. Paul said, if Christ lives in you, the Spirit is life for you, because you've been put right with God, even though your bodies are going to die because of sin. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from death lives in you, and he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies by the presence of his Spirit in you. Life isn't a purely spiritual thing. It involves your body. If you're a follower of Christ, you're waiting for something, an eventual adoption, the redemption of your body, as St. Paul said. He had found it out for himself. His whole being was redeemed by Christ, body and soul. Christ's people will be raised from the dead, body and soul. It's the beginning of good health when you're personally aware of the fact that God wants your whole being, your complete wholeness, guided by his Spirit towards spiritual, mental, and physical good health. He wants you to enjoy life. He is not a killjoy. He wants people to be physically well, not sick mentally or spiritually. In the life that God gives, it's well to remember that a person may be physically sick and yet be very well spiritually and in every other way. Someone with a poor attitude toward God is not really a healthy person. I've seen a lot of people racked with illness in their bodies who had the finest health that you could possibly want to see anywhere. With their pains came fortitude because they had hope in God. They died peacefully, looking backward to the redemption of their bodies by the Lord of life, and looking forward to new fulfillment with complete confidence in God, to wit, the redemption of their bodies. Healthy people have in their souls what St. Paul was talking about. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Here's to your health, my friend. I pray for you that you may have a good personal relationship to the Lord, that you love God for loving you, that you trust God because he's redeemed you, that you live courageously because God is in control no matter what, that you enjoy the sunshine of God's favor, forgiven by him and forgiving others as God, for the sake of Christ, has forgiven you. Jesus always gave himself and his disciples time to pray. On a television program not so long ago, there were medical researchers who are wrestling with something they have seen in the practice of medicine. People who pray are more disposed to healing than those who do not pray. These researchers are trying to discover scientific reasons why this may be so. More power to them. Just let me say one thing to all the researchers, and also to those who await breathlessly their results. There are more things in your philosophy and in your medicine than you ever dreamed of. The great God is still the Almighty, whatever else he may be. The king is not the subject. He owes his authority to no one else. In the rat race of life, with all of its swift pace, he gives people space, space to believe in him and space to pray to him. He gives rest to all who trust in him, not just leisure time to hasten the pace. It's hard to find rest when you're so busy wearing yourself out. Put those new drapes up and clean the house before Aunt Bertha comes. Publish 3 articles a year or perish professionally. Fertilize the lawn. Keep that schedule untangled and keep those children on the run. Soccer practice, violin practice, art class, library day. Stop. Look and listen, my friend, to the living God. Lift up your eyes unto the hills. Here's to your health. A few years ago, I was in India speaking every day to 50,000 people gathered on a bed of a river whose flow had been interrupted temporarily for this purpose. I was given a quiet place to live on a hillside in the countryside, a school where the students were gone for the summer. There was no air conditioning. A caretaker was the only inhabitant of the place, and he prepared my breakfast every morning over an open fire. I arose every morning at 5 o'clock, and went out in my pajamas to watch the stars disappear and the light of day arise. There I sat under a cashew nut tree, looking down into the valley, contemplating every morning for an hour or so the majesty of God in ordinary things that constitute the stuff of life. After the dawn came, smoke began to arise in the huts below as people prepared their breakfasts, getting ready for the duties of the day. I did not think of it that way at the time. but it was a healing moment. India is not an untroubled country, but the words of the prophet became clear on that hillside. I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. The Hebrew language has a great word which our Lord used often to greet his disciples, shalom. It means peace. Not just the absence of hostility, but the restful quality of wholeness, completeness, and integrity. But thou wilt keep him in complete wholeness whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. That doesn't mean that you have to sit on a hillside somewhere in order to realize the truth of it all. You can know it driving along the highway. The peace of God is like that car hitting on all perfectly tuned cylinders. We all need the Sabbath of God, the rest that he gives. There's a time for worship, a time for play, a time to work, and a time to sleep. You need it, and I need it too. I prepared this little talk to you on a morning when I didn't eat breakfast. I went to the early service at our local congregation and came back to put this little message on paper. It wasn't hard work. Maybe it should have been, but it wasn't. I took this little word of God and tried to let it speak to you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. A medical man, Dr. William M. Fogey, has pointed out that with a dictaphone, you can equal the lifetime output of St. Paul or Shakespeare in 1 year. And many people do. Dr. Fogey cautions, however, do not confuse quantity and quality. There are many things you can do to promote good health, but none more important than receiving life as the gift it is from the hand of God, the gift of creation, and just as much the gift of redemption. It is life created and recreated every day by the grace of God, received with the unaccustomed humility of faith, to be lived with the unaccustomed power of love, in obedience to God, unfettered and empowered by the Spirit of Christ that lives in the hearts of God's people. In a very small letter, St. John put the biblical position into perspective. Dear friend, he wrote, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Hayne Gilmore, associate editor of Runner's Magazine, put it this way. There's little point in jogging on the moon, but there's plenty of joy, juice, and rejuvenation in the sustained, glorious exertion of long-distance running. How can your soul get along well if your body is shot? Could very well be added, how can your body get along well if your soul is shot? A pure mind contributes a lot more to bodily health than a filthy mind. Faith and love toward God are a lot more important to a healthy body than hostility, envy, and fear of what may or may not happen. Sickness is a part of the human condition, and physical death is common to us all. Good health is a blessing from God, to be received as a gift, without pointing the finger at anyone else who happens to be subject to all kinds of ailments. The gift of health, of body, is not the only gift God has to give. Indeed, it's not the greatest gift he has to give. It's simply not true that when you have your bodily health, you've got everything. The gift of health, however, is not to be despised. It is rather to be received with thanksgiving and to be used for the glory of God. We are not made by God to overeat calories, overeat proteins, sugar foods and salt, processed and junk foods. We're human. Even though I do admit I like ice cream with chocolate covering, God does want you to enjoy your food with the joy of ordinary everyday gifts and to live life in consideration for yourself as well as for others. God wants you to have the joy of his salvation right here now. God wants you to be unfettered from the slavery of sin by the grace of his forgiveness. He wants your life to be ennobled with prayer, praise and thanksgiving. He wants you to have a healthy mind and a sound body all working together. Here's to your health. You are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Amen.